ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Rupa, you're next on the list for singing. Okay? I almost forgot that I had prepared this next section. But I guess the last bhajan woke me up. So, we are leaving Chaitanya Charitamrita and going back to Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj. And again, the midday pastimes. This section is entitled Radharani Describes Krishna. So we hear so many descriptions in the scriptures of Krishna. Well, let's see how Radharani describes Krishna. First, there is the invocation. The invocation is the opening shloka for the midday pastimes, which is several chapters. When the divine couple meet in the middle of the day, they appear very beautiful and charming, decorated with ornaments of various ecstatic symptoms. Although feigning indifference, they are filled with longing to meet each other. So that's key. Feigning indifference, meaning they're pretending that they're not attracted. But within, that attraction is blazing. They want to meet. They want to embrace, but they feign indifference. As they perform the sacred rituals of amorous love, they greatly enjoyed the joking words spoken by Lalita and the other gopis. Thus, they eagerly enjoy transcendental pastimes in the forest, in the waters of Radhakund, and riding on the swing. They enjoy various pastimes, such as Radha's stealing the flute, drinking honey, worshipping the sun god, and various kinds of amorous pastimes. I meditate on this Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So that invocation verse sets the scene for the whole contents of this midday pastimes. I meditate on Radha and Krishna, who are served by their eternal associates, and who are very eager to enjoy various transcendental pastimes in the middle portion of the day. In other words, when we say, or when the scriptures say, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, it's not a bluff, it's not a joke. He actually is enjoying, always. And if you read this book, you'll see, from morning through 24 hours, Krishna is simply enjoying. That's why it's ludicrous to even think that you can imitate Krishna. Impossible. We're not fit. We are just not fit. But we are fit to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. As Prabhupada used to say, 100 times down, servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. At that very moment, Srimati Radharani, the beloved of Vraja's prince, because according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, the king of Vrindavan is Nanda and the queen is Yashoda, but he calls Krishna Vraja's prince. Radharani approached nearby. Her mind was strongly drawn to her beloved Krishna. She yearned with every sense and limb to meet him. As her companion Vishakha tried to console her, the anxious Radharani spoke the following words. Now, it just so happens these same verses are also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any fault there? It's the same author. If he wants to include similar verses from other who's going to find fault with that? These are very long Sanskrit verses. I'll just do the English. Though the hearts of the gopis are like high-standing hills, they are inundated by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Krishna's beauty. The touch of his body is cooler than millions and millions of moons together, and the nectar of his bodily fragrance overfloods the entire world. Oh, my dear friend, that Krishna, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda, and whose lips are exactly like nectar, is attracting my five senses by force: eyes, ears, nose, sense of touch, taste, five senses. My dear friend, the luster of Krishna's body is more brilliant than a newly formed cloud. And his, what color is his dhoti? Yellow dress is more attractive than newly arrived lightning. What kind of feather decorates his head? Peacock. And on his neck hangs a lovely necklace of brilliant pearls. As he holds his charming flute to his lips, his face looks as beautiful as the full autumn moon. By such beauty, Madana Mohan, everybody, the enchanter of Cupid, is increasing the desire of my eyes to see him. My dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. In the Bhagavatam, many times, it's described that when Krishna speaks, it's like the rumbling of clouds. Very deep, deep voice. He has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis. And with the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead known as Madana Mohan, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears. Radharani continues, O my friend, this cowherd prince, whose jingling ornaments attract the ears, like the pleasant rumbling of monsoon clouds, whose words are full of delightful puns on syllables and words, whose sweet flute music charms the hearts of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, and all other beautiful women, who is more enchanting than Cupid, has created within me an intense desire to constantly hear his words and music with my ears. So we cannot imitate Srimati Radharani, but we can certainly become enchanted, and we can certainly meditate on Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. If Kamlesh Patel was here, he would say, yes, thank you, Prabhu. Or we can hear Krishna's words that he speaks in Srimad Bhagavatam, either by himself or one of his expansions. Then, the scent of Krishna's transcendental body surpasses the aroma of musk and attracts the minds of all women. The eight lotus-like parts of his body distribute the fragrance of lotuses mixed with that of camphor. His body is anointed with aromatic substances like musk, camphor, sandalwood, and aguru. Oh, my dear gopi friend, that personality of Godhead, also known as the enchanter of Cupid, always increases the desire of my nostrils. My dear friend, Krishna's chest is as broad and attractive as a door made of Indranila gems, and his two arms are strong as thunderbolts, and they can relieve the mental anguish of young girls distressed by lusty desires for him. In this way, the attractor of Cupid, what's his name? Madana Mohan, is increasing the desire of my bosom. My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be attained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. Madana Mohan, everybody say.
Madana
Mohan. Always choose pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. Should we chew pan? No. Otherwise, we're trying to imitate Krishna. He can chew, not us. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. So she went through these and showing how all of her senses are attracted by Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam, there is that chapter where the gopis are describing the miraculous effects of Krishna's flute. And there's one passage where it says that the aborigine girls, they take the dust of Krishna's feet and smear it on them to cool down their burning lusty desires. Nothing satisfies them but that dust from Krishna, which they get from the ground. That is the only thing that cools them and satisfies them. So for us, if we're distressed, we should simply chant the Maha Mantra. Everybody.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Because that phrase, Krishna Varnam, the name of Krishna was always in Lord Chaitanya's throat. Either he was chanting, or describing, or glorifying Krishna. Krishna Varnam. It was always Krishna. And I remember the devotees used to tell me when I was Bhakta Nik, they said, Prabhu, when you eat prasadam, Lord Chaitanya used to chant in between bites. So I said, oh, then I have to do that too. Hare Krishna. I guess that's why I ate so much prasadam. I was just doing what the devotees told me to do. And I'll never forget that wonderful devotee, Kapindra Das, my elder godbrother. Remember him? Where's Adya Prabhu? Is he? Remember Kapindra? Right? He used to be a Hasidic Jew. I was very impressed. An Hasidic, because when you first join the movement, you find out this guy was a bank robber, this guy was an athlete. This one was a prostitute, this one was a... You know, all kinds of people joined Prabhupada's movement. And everyone had their fascinating story, you know. So this Pindra was a Hasidic Jew, you know, with the sikas on the side and, you know, the hat. So I remember he was all throughout the day, if you'd see him in the temple, he'd be chanting shlokas or prayers, some sort of, you know. And even during, and I remember one time, because back then, in the good old days, back in the day, we used to have hot milk in the basement of Brooklyn Temple. And the hot milk had a little bit of sugar and banana. And I remember the devotee said, Prabhupada said, because that was the big thing. Prabhupada said. And if somebody said, Prabhu, you got to do this. Did Prabhupada say? Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. It has to be what Prabhupada said. Yes, Prabhupada said. Okay, then I'll do. So the devotees used to tell me, Prabhupada said that when you drink milk, oh, this devotee was Madhu Mangal. Remember Madhu Mangal? Das Brahmachari? So Madhu Mangal told me, he had these ears like this, you know. And he was very ex because in the Brooklyn Temple, the Maha was locked up in a secret closet. And only the big guns could get the Maha. But these guys, there was a certain crew, they would unhinge the lock and you'd get woken up in the night. Narendra, come here. And there'd be this huge Maha feast at midnight. Shh, Prabhu, shh. And there'd be puris and samosas and wow. Transcendental thievery. So I remember Madhu Mangala said, Prabhu, Prabhupada said that when you drink milk, it should be, is there sugar in this? That's how much sugar should be in the milk. It should have just a bit so that you say, is there sugar in this milk? So one time we would, and not only would we drink milk, but someone would read Krishna book. This would be in the basement of the temple. So somebody would read a Krishna book story, and everyone would sit around, and you would get two cups, because the milk was hot, hot, hot. So they taught you, this is how you drink milk. You take the milk, pour it in one cup, you keep pouring it until it becomes good enough so you get, it's not so hot. So you'd have your two, and the cups, of course, were plastic, because you know, it's got to save money, Prabhu. So you'd have these two hot cups of plastic, it's like, yeah. And you would go like, and of course it would spill. And there'd be, as soon as the milk spilled, there'd be Kapindra on his hands and knees. Samsara Dhaban, Nanalido. He'd be chanting Gurvashtakam prayers because it was prasadam. Prabhu, you cannot waste prasadam, Prabhu. So every drop of milk on the floor, Kapindra would lick. I was like, wow, this guy's, he's a pure devotee. And I sometimes imitated. I remember once, like a little puppy dog for Krishna. Those were the good old days in ISKCON. And then Sunday feast, oh, that was great. Because Sunday feast, the guests would come, and there'd be so much, you know, half-eaten plates. So they would be in the garbage. And then there'd be always be a crew of brahmacharis. They would attack that garbage can and get out the samosas and the gulab jamuns that the karmis didn't eat. Those were the days. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare. All right.